Hello, friends. I'm your host, Christina, and you're listening to Radical Stepmoms, a podcast about the good, bad, and really ugly moments about raising a child that you didn't create. Here, I'll discuss the realities of co-parenting, the way stepmotherhood affects a marriage, the relationship with our stepkids, and most of all, navigating the relationship with ourselves. I want each episode to leave you feeling validated, empowered, and oh so radical. So pour yourself a LaCroix, a glass of red, or whatever, and listen in on Radical Stepmoms. Hi, Doug. Welcome to Radical Stepmoms.
Hi, Christina. Thanks for having me.
So a little backstory on Doug and I. Doug and I started working together in 2009.
Yep.
So I have known you for a really long time.
Really long. But I'm older than you. Don't forget that.
Yeah. So I don't. But when I met you, we were kind of both single. Like, I had that long-term boyfriend who I
broke up with. How was that kind of single?
Well, I mean, like, we're not married. We weren't married.
Okay. No.
We weren't.
I was divorced.
Yeah, you were divorced, raising your daughter, mm-hmm. and I was dating the doofus I was dating.
Yep.
And then, so then we worked together for, like, 5 years, and then I moved on, but we've been, you know, friends ever since. And through that time, I have seen you get married. You've seen me get married and take on these blended family
dynamics.
Dynamics, mm-hmm. Yes.
Dynamics.
Yes. And so, yeah, I'm inviting you on because through our sessions of chatting and talking about our
counseling sessions, yes,
with each other, yes. It's become more and more apparent that you, I would say, are not what society would call like the average stepdad
or dad
or dad. Yeah. And I really value your perspective. And hearing things come out of your mouth that I have thought or said as a stepmom, I'm just like, yes. So let's start by first talking about when you met your now wife. How old were the girls and all that stuff?
Okay, well, I'll go a little deeper. Yeah. And I'll say that I met my first wife when I was 16, and we got married when I was 20. And so we were together about 12 years, and we had one child together, a daughter who was born in 2000. And we got divorced in, 2004, 2003 and a half, something like that. And I was single for the next 7-8 years because I really felt it was important to raise my daughter. And we had split custody, but I had her the majority of the time. So I was either at work or with her. So I couldn't really date. Dating was not really an option for me. But as she got older, you know, I, of course, wanted to find somebody and share in love and happiness. And so in 2010, my father, who, how would I say this, has found God. And he thought that I should, you know, have a spouse. And that was very important to him. So he bought me an eHarmony subscription. Yeah, laugh away. You know this, which I had at that point, my daughter was 10 and I had started to date a little bit, but nobody ever met my daughter. It was really important to me that my daughter didn't see me dating or having adult fun, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And nobody really made the cut. Like, to me, you had to be an integral part of my life in order to meet my daughter. And in the first couple months, I met my current wife online, and she was in the same situation. She had a daughter that was 4 at the time, and she had been divorced for a couple years. And we started online and, you know, did the emails back and forth, and then went to phone calls. And then we started going out on dates. And I'll never forget our first date because I looked right at her, and I mean, within a week, we had already elevated our relationship to where most people get in like 6 months. Mm. You know, we had shared a whole bunch, and I'm an oversharer, probably why you have me here on the show today. And so on our first physical date, sitting across from each other at the restaurant, I looked at her and I said, just by the way, don't take offense to this, but you're not going to meet my daughter until, you know, you're important to me. And she looked at me and went, well, good, because you're not meeting mine. Well, we have great rules and we had great ideas, but we broke all those pretty quick. We moved very quickly. So when we got together in March of 2010, we might have waited 2 or 3 months, which is way earlier than I would have ever thought, considering I had dated another woman for more than 6 months and she never met my daughter. But I met her daughter first, who was 4, because her ex-husband, my stepdaughter's dad, was not the best father or in the picture. And so she didn't have the luxury of, you know, a weekend where her daughter was away, whereas I had a couple days a week, 2 or 3 sometimes, where my daughter was at my ex-wife's. And so, you know, I met her first. And then, do you want funny stories?
Yeah, of course. But how old, okay. How old was
my daughter?
Yeah.
She was 10.
And both girls, how old was your now stepdaughter?
4.
4, okay.
4 and 10.
Okay.
So we both met individually. I met my stepdaughter first, and then my wife met my current daughter? No, this is going to get hard. My bio daughter, who was 10, and everything was great. And then, this sounds so stupid, but we wanted them to meet together. But we were like, well, let's not, this is going to sound like we raised puppies. We didn't want them to meet like at one or another's houses. We wanted it to be at a central location. Sure. So we wanted to do like a park or something. Yeah. And of course it was pouring rain. And so we went to a Target, and my stepdaughter had a complete 4-year-old meltdown in Target. I mean, screaming. And my wife is looking at me going, she's never done this. And I think it was just a lot for her. You know, here's this mm-hmm. new guy in my mom's life, and he's got this 10-year-old girl. And oh my God, she was so embarrassed for my wife was embarrassed for days, because she was like, I promise this isn't the way she is. You're like, I don't know if that was true or not.
I but know. We'll get there.
We'll get there. So yeah, so I've been with my current wife for 11 years now. My bio daughter is 20, and I'm not going to call her my stepdaughter. My adopted daughter is 16.
Yeah. Damn, they grew up fast.
I know. Doesn't it seem like we were at that training in Olympia?
Right? Oh my right. God, when you were like yes. texting her and stuff. Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah, that was 2 days before her and I actually met.
Wow.
So
you were so I got smitten. In trouble.
I know. I was. I move fast.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, you know, I mean, I'm talking to you like in a way feeling like I'm talking to another stepmom, but it's also, you are also a bio dad and yep. your wife is a stepmom. So yep. you know, hearing from you as being, you know, the partner and talking about how things move fast and how you have these rules and stuff. Like, I feel like that's super common because Jake and I, we did the same thing where it was like, I told him straight up. I was like, I don't want to meet your son until like, I think I'm the one that was like, don't let me meet him until you think it's right. And then I was like, maybe months. And then 2 days later, he shows up at my freaking door and I'm like, okay. So yeah, super interesting.
Good plan. Well, I'm glad I had those plans, because a couple of the other young women that I had dated, you know, both of them had kids and they didn't like my rule. In fact, they all wanted me to meet their kids right away. Mm-hmm. And I just was not comfortable with that. I was like, I don't need my daughter to see, you know, I mean, at the age she was at, it's all about age appropriateness. You know, if she had been 15, I would have wanted my bio daughter to know that dad was dating and looking for love, because I think that's a very important part of life. But at 8 or 9, that is not what she needed. She needed to know that dad was there for her. And, you know, she didn't need to see these women rotating through. And I'm going to be honest, her mom, how do I say this politely? She was more interested in other men than her daughter. You know, that was difficult for my daughter. So yeah, I wanted to make sure that I was there for her. I mean, I put my kids first, and I'm sure after you hear this conversation, you'll go, yeah, that guy puts his kids first always. So
yeah. How would you describe, well, like, okay, so you guys all like move in together and start melding that. What was that like? Cause I mean, I'm asking a question that I know the answer to. So how about, let's just talk about the parenting styles between you and your wife and how you raise, you know, your daughters the same or differently.
Well, I think the largest compliment I can pay to my wife, well, that's just going to sound egotistical, but we have the same ideas. I mean, we are right on. In fact, I will tell you, over the course of the last 11 years, both of my daughters have came to me at times and said, you know, you just told me the exact same thing mom told me in the other room. And so I think that's good because we are on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. Now, how we approach it, completely different. But we have the same core, core beliefs, morals, ethics. Execution. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, my daughters are completely different and well, we'll get to there, but yeah, so we moved in, and I can be honest, I was overcompensating as a father to my bio dad. I did not think that her mother, her bio mother, was doing a great job. And so I overcompensated and I was spoiling.
Were you Disney?
No.
No?
Well, no. The Disneyland dad, I'll give you examples of a Disneyland dad when I talk about my adopted daughter's dad. But no, because I did all my homework with my daughter, my bio daughter. I had her from Friday to Tuesday every week. I took her to school Mondays and Tuesdays and picked her up on Fridays. I would call her every night and we would do homework together because that was something her mom wouldn't do. And our schedule of 50-50 time was, you know, I know a lot of parents now do week on, week off. Mm-hmm. Ours was different because she worked, my ex-wife worked weekends and I had Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. So it was perfect because, you know, I'd pick her up after school on Friday and take her to school Tuesday morning. And then she'd go to her mom's and more than I can count, I would have her also all day Tuesday. And I had to take days off work because my ex-wife would do other things. But no, I spoiled my daughter. I wouldn't say Disneyland dad because I was either working or, you know, but I tried to show her what real adult life was like. So every Friday that I'd pick her up, we'd go grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, a lot of that was because after my divorce, I tried really hard to keep my house, but I was broke. So I would literally eat Top Ramen all week. And then Friday, we'd go to the grocery store, my daughter and I, and get food and plan for the next 4 days. And, you know, I would feed her nutritional meals and we'd cook together. And then I'd go back to eating nothing on the days I didn't have her because I was trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So when my current wife moved in, it was nice because it took some of that financial pressure off. You know, I mean, it's hard in this area to live on a one income household. But everything changed because my adopted daughter was with us 24/7. And my daughter, I have a little 3-bedroom house. And when they first planned on moving in, my daughter, I'm embarrassed to even say this, had 2 rooms. She had a sleeping room and a playroom. So yes, spoil. Yes, I did. And so that was a really hard adjustment for my daughter. I would say them moving in was the hardest on my bio daughter. She was 10. Mm-hmm. I had been her whole world. And all of a sudden now there's 2 other women in the house all the time. And she did not, I mean, she handled it really well, but you know, I remember times that my current wife would be like in the kitchen making dinner or doing the dishes. And my daughter would be standing in the kitchen staring at her, like almost kind of like scary. And I'd be like, hey, honey, what's going on? You know, because she was trying to process all this. She went from spending every minute with dad and having it be about her to having to, you know, share not only me, but her space. Mm-hmm. And I give my current wife huge props because.
Yeah. How did she navigate that? Was it, I mean, I, well, as a stepmom, if I'm standing in the kitchen and some kid is creepily just staring at me, I'd be like,
Right. Right. Well, and you know, it was nice because I was always there. You know, it's not like, I also thought it was important not to be like, hey, you're a stepmom now, take care of my daughter. Mm-hmm. I never did that. And so I was always there, especially, you know, in that first year, there was never any times like, hey, I'm going to go golfing or, you know, do some of those stereotypical dad things.
Like right? What my husband did to me.
Well, that's your story. I'm not going to tell that, but yeah, I always thought it was important. And, you know, I think my current wife did a great job because she would try to connect with Sarah as another woman. You know, because my daughter was 10, but she was already going through puberty and already started her period. And, you know, she was an early developer and she wasn't so much a kid as she was, you know, in this house with another woman. Mm-hmm. And my wife did a really good job with that because my poor daughter, I mean, I had to show her how to use tampons and that kind of stuff. And so it brought a little relief, I think, to my daughter, my bio daughter, to have another woman that she could talk to because my wife is as open as I am. And there's no taboo conversations in our house. We talk about everything to this day. And my daughters would be, well, they would say they hate it, but they're overeducated. And I think in the long run, they appreciate our openness and, you know, we would just have open talks and I think that really helped. So,
So would you say that kind of relationship, it sounds like your daughter was at a good age to kind of, I mean, yes, she had a transition, any kid would, but it sounds like her being her stepmom was actually a bigger benefit to her. What's the relationship like now?
Oh, they're really good friends. You know, my bio daughter's 20 now and she no longer lives with us. She comes and stays with us a couple times a month, but she is currently living with her mother's parents. Okay, I'm just going to say this. So let's get the whole story out here. Okay, so when my first wife and I separated, she moved back in with her parents. She tried to live somewhere else on her own for about a week. That didn't work. I went and moved them in and out of an apartment because my daughter was involved, so I was involved. I mean, I'm not going to say that my ex and I have a great relationship, but we tried to co-parent well. But it's really hard to co-parent well with somebody who just thinks they're right and they don't take any other opinions. But I was always involved and made sure that, you know, my daughter was at least in a safe place. But she moved back in with her parents. And so that made me really happy because in my opinion, I'm sure she has the same opinion about me, but she wasn't being the greatest mom. And so having her parents, especially her grandma there with her, made me feel better. And man, every Friday that I'd go pick up my daughter, I'd still have dinner with her parents because they loved me, you know? So I'd pick up my daughter and she'd make me come inside and have dinner with grandma and grandpa. And that worked out really well because it kept the family kind of tight. And I think it made my daughter feel good, you know, even though mom and dad aren't still together, mom's parents still love dad. So that was good. But yeah, I think my daughter, of course, you're right, transition for any age is going to be different. I think in the beginning, she was very angry and very jealous that these two new people in the house were taking her dad's time. But I made sure, you know, this is stupid things I think of. I remember when I got divorced, one of the things I made sure that was in the parenting plan since I wrote it is that I would do all the transportation. So we never met at McDonald's or anything like that. I would always pick her up at her grandparents' house or at school, and I would always take her to school or her grandparents' house.
Why? Why did you do that?
The reason I did that is because I wanted that initial time and that end time of our time together, whether it was 4 days together or 5 days together, so that we could talk, you know, just connect. Because sometimes we get busy in our lives, and I didn't want to, you know, take her to a McDonald's. And I mean, I guess that's movies, right? That's Hollywood. You have to meet at McDonald's because, well, no. it's not always Hollywood.
No. Sometimes it's a police station because there's so
much conflict. I know. I took it in the ass is what I did. Sorry. Can I swear here?
Yes.
Okay, good. I would always roll and not play victim, but let my ex-wife think she was in control because I was the one with Sarah. And oh, I just said my daughter's name. Well, there you go. There's my daughter's name.
Oh my God.
Told you I'd mess up about halfway through. My bio daughter, I had the majority of the time, and I would never let me and my ex's wife relationship get like that. I didn't want that for my daughter. I can honestly say that until my daughter was 18, I never said an ill word about her mother. That was very important to me. And I'm a child of divorce and death of a parent at a young age. And so I experienced all this when I was little. And so I wanted to really make sure that my daughter never heard me say what I truly felt, because it wasn't going to be good for her. You know,
did your ex do you the same favor?
From my point of view, no. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of, you know, blaming me for everything and telling me I was wrong. And, you know, if my bio daughter was present, I would tell her that we would have a phone conversation later. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was just weird stuff. I mean, you know, I remember when my bio daughter was, you know, probably about 9 or 10, you know, I live in a small community, very safe. I'm not one of these people that's afraid. I mean, man, when I was a kid, when I was 5, I used to ride my bike for hours and hours and hours and be miles away from home. And I wanted to teach my daughter some independence. So I would let her walk 2 blocks down to the little store and buy a candy bar or whatever. And her mom would call me and just scream at me and tell me that I was the worst father ever. And, you know, I mean, it was little things like that, never anything major.
And it's interesting. I mean, we forget. I mean, obviously, there's a reason why you guys got divorced. You know, there's difference in parenting there and difference in perspectives and stuff. But, you know, what it often comes down to, which I have to try and hold space for when I'm trying to have compassion for our high conflict bio mom stuff, is that we all are coming from our own like core values and beliefs and what's important to us. And, you know, from the outside, sure, from an outsider, you know, that might look like neglect or something to be scared of or something to, you know, you're don't care. But that's not really the case. And I think that that's how the exes can like really use that to attack each other.
Well, and it's really hard when, and I'll be honest, my ex-wife is fearful of a lot of things. And she hasn't, in my opinion, grown that much as a human being. She would probably say something completely different. And I still mean what I said to her when we split, you know, and it was her idea to split. And I just said, I hope you find happiness. And I don't think she has yet. And so I think some of that came across in her parenting, and we were very, very different. I mean, I loved the hell out of that woman, but we got together way too early. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was 16, she was 18 or 19, and man, we should have just never kept going, but we did, you know? Mm-hmm.
A question. What's the relationship like with the ex and your wife?
They've only met once, and we were each in our own cars. My ex-wife would tell my bio daughter all the time how she didn't like my new wife, but they never had a conversation or met, it was doomed from the start. You know, my current wife would say things to me like, well, let's all go have dinner and, you know, sit down and talk about it. But my ex-wife never would allow that to happen. Mm. And all she would do was, you know, and rightly so, my bio daughter would go back to her mom's, especially in that transition stage, mm-hmm. and tell her everything that my current wife did wrong, right? Mm. Because my daughter was angry. She was having to share her dad. Mm. And so that really set off the negative relationship between current wife and ex-wife.
Right. But a person that has some understanding or some insight could as a bio or as, you know, the ex bio parent to be like, oh, well, honey, it's a lot of change you're going through. Like, terrible people like take that on as like validation and to soothe their own ego. And that is not doing a service to their kid. Like,
no. Well, and I always made it clear when my current wife and I got married and they were living with us, you know, I would tell my daughter, my wife is your stepmother. You know, now I'm gonna go down a path here that's really weird, but I never required her to call her mom or anything like that, because mm-hmm. I have some issues with that from my childhood, you mm-hmm. know. My daughter gets to pick the kind of relationship she has with my current wife, but she is an adult in the house and she makes the rules. If dad's not there, you know, you have to listen to her. I'm firm on that, because I expected the same from my wife with her daughter. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to get into all that soon, yeah. but, mm-hmm. but, you know, and I remember my ex-wife and I having a conversation. And my ex-wife just kept saying, she's not her mom. She's not her mom. And I'm like, no, she's not. She's my wife. And she lives in the house and she's an adult in the house. I mean, sometimes I felt like I had to explain it to my ex-wife, like my 10-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I wish we could have gotten together. I mean, I tried, but that was just something that my ex-wife was not willing to do.
So it's been 10 years, 11
years? 11 years.
And she's only seen her once.
Yep. At a pickup exchange.
That's insane. See, mm-hmm. stepmom's listening. I mean, I get messages all the time. Like, it's been 6 months. It's been a year. Like, I haven't met her yet. It's really bugging me. And it's like, I guess there's no prerequisite, or there's no like law that's, I mean, I think sometimes it would feel better for us as stepmoms to feel like, hey, I'm a good person. I have good intentions. I'm not trying to be the mom. I'm just, you know, but like, you know, we can't force anyone to do it.
No. And I will tell you, it made my wife really crazy that she was getting attacked like this, because we used to call the days that I would pick up my bio daughter, especially that drive, that communication, that first night, we'd call retraining day.
Yep.
Because my daughter would be in the mindset of her mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hard for kids, you know, it's hard to go from one house to another. And I'm glad that, man, if I do math here the right way, for 16 years, we had the same schedule, Friday to Tuesday. And I'm glad that part was consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in that first year, 2 years, especially when my daughter was, you know, 10, 11, 12, which is a hard enough time for a young girl anyway, mm-hmm. to go through this, there was some hard times, you know? So, but yeah, I'm glad you asked me about the relationship now, because it's not really a mother-daughter dynamic. It's a friendship dynamic now, you know. I mean, my daughter was at our house this weekend for a couple of days, and man, they went off and did their nails and talked about purses and watched some crime shows, and you know, I mean, they just had a good time. Mm-hmm. But it's not a mother-daughter relationship. I mm-hmm. think it's a true friendship. So
curious, did your daughter recognize her on Mother's Day?
I don't think so.
Mm. Okay. do you think your wife wanted that or expected that?
No.
No?
No. My wife is not the holiday type.
Okay. Yeah.
She calls them the Hallmark days.
Yep. Yeah.
That's not her personality.
Did you celebrate on Mother's Day?
I try every holiday. I love holidays, but you know, she just doesn't care. But you know, I did all the stereotypical stuff that I'm supposed to do, and we hung out and had a good time together, but she doesn't care about that stuff. Even her own daughter, who's 16, was like, oh yeah, it's Mom's Day, like at dinner.
Oh my God. So,
yeah, that's not something that's important to my wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it sounds like the time that they spent together anyway was quality time, and you don't necessarily need someone to say Happy Mother's Day, you know, for you to still feel connected and, you know, invest in your relationship. So I just asked because, yeah.
I have a funny story about that just because, hey, we're here. So I have had, three stepmoms in my life. My mom died when I was super young. I was 4. And I had a stepmom that pretty much I called mom. She raised me from like 5 to 11. And my dad has been married now for actually 29 years this year to a woman that he married when I was 16. She's an amazing woman. She's the only woman I know that can put up with him for that long. And she is closer to my age than his. We don't need to do the math there, but I'll just tell you, when I was 16, 17, her and I got a Sears portrait together. It might've been a Yin Louie, I don't know. But people would think that we were dating in that picture.
Oh my God.
But no, that was my stepmom. And to this day, my dad still totally freaks out and is like, are you going to call her on Mother's Day? Well, yeah, I'll call her, but I've never called her mom. You married her when I was 16 and I had already moved out of the house. I mean, it's weird the perception that some parents have, but I totally honor her as I have some kid brothers that are in their 20s now, and she is their mom and they're my half brothers. And I acknowledge her as their mom. And of course I'm going to call her and wish her Happy Mother's Day. I mean, she's a great woman, but I would never ask my daughter to call my wife and wish her a Happy Mother's Day. Mm. I think it's a different relationship. Now, if you know, my current wife and I had gotten together when my daughter was 3, different story, you know, but at 10, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's very interesting to hear all these different perspectives because Mother's Day has now passed. It's been a big deal to all of us stepmoms and stuff for a lot of different reasons. There's some that don't want to be recognized at all. They want to save that for when they have their you know, baby with their partner, or there's some that just really want to be recognized in that way. And, you know, I've always said it's don't necessarily need to force anything on the kid as far as recognition, but to if a stepmom wants to be acknowledged by their partner for what they do for their family as this mom role, then, you know, to speak up about that and stuff. So it's just interesting to hear how everyone does it. Yeah.
Well, and I'll be honest, on Mother's Day, I called 5 women in my life that none of them are my mothers. And I wish them Happy Mother's Day because I think it's important, but that's the kind of person I am. You know, I like to acknowledge that, hey, you're not my mom, but you've been a mother figure in my life. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. So,
yeah. So I'm looking at my questions here.
we went on a few tangents there. Yeah, sorry.
It's good. Okay. So
let's talk about my stepdaughter at that transition time.
Yes. Good. Yes.
Yes. Because she was 4. That was intense. She was 4, just turned 5 when we moved in together. And this poor girl had a rocky life with her father. Her father is her father. And I will tell you that I'm trying to figure out my words here. I don't respect the man, but, you know, again, like my daughter, I was not going to talk ill about her dad to her. Mm-hmm. And within the first couple months of us moving in together, he left for a year and a half out of country. And we didn't think he was coming back. This is an individual that has four kids by three or four different women. He just was not a positive role model in her life. You know, and we can go down the lines of helping with financial assistance or emotional assistance. He was not really present in anything. But four-year-old girls love their dad, no matter what.
They do.
And I was always very honest with my stepdaughter and was like, I am not your dad. I am your mom's husband. Same thing I told my daughter, you know, and I am going to be a father figure and I will always be here for you. But, you know, you don't need to call me dad because that's confusing, especially to a four-year-old, you know, and I am known even to this day with my 16-year-old adopted daughter as her Dougie, not her dad, her Dougie. And, you know, she was going through some rough times, but it had nothing to do with moving in with my bio daughter and me. It was the absence of her father and a lot of acting out and screaming and crying. But I think it was also amazing for her because little girls and moms, well, I'm just going to say this and all your listeners can get mad at me. Girls and moms, you guys are nasty to each other. I don't know what the heck is going on there. I'm glad I didn't have any boys because I probably would have gone fist to fist with my boys. So I understand.
As a daughter who has a very close relationship with her mom, I will agree with that. My mom and I, we have a 3-day rule that if after 3 days of being together, we will kill each other. Yeah.
It's okay. My dad and I have a 3-day rule too. but what I'll say, I think, and I'm speaking for her, of course, my stepdaughter needed some structure, right? Because her dad was not in the picture. And I'll never forget so when my wife and I were dating, we hadn't moved in yet. I'm sorry, but you know, we're adults. We do what we can. We did not want to intermix the kids too early. We've talked about that. So I would go over to her house on nights that I didn't have my daughter. So like 2 or 3 nights a week. And I would wait in the living room until her daughter went to sleep so that we could spend some time together. And she used to lay in bed screaming and telling her mom she hated her. And I mean, stuff that looking back on now, I should have maybe taken a few notes. But she was really struggling with, you know, emotion and connecting with her mom and her dad. And the third night they had moved into the house, it was bedtime. And her mom was like, you need to go to bed. Remember, this is a 5-year-old little girl. And she didn't want to go to bed, like all 5-year-olds don't want to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And she kicked her mom. And I am not a yeller. Both my daughters will tell you that I am a counselor and I am a talker, and you will get a 2-hour lecture where you don't get to say a word. And that is my discipline style. And they hate it. My daughter, my bio daughter says, Dad, it would have been so much easier if you had just spanked me, but I have never spanked my children. They get the Doug lecture. But on that night I raised my voice and it was not loud. I didn't scream. I walked over to her and, in a very fatherly voice, I said, you never kick your mom. And I took her by the hand and took her to bed. And my wife said she had been doing that for 6 months. Never happened again after that night.
Wow.
She just needed some ground rules. Mm-hmm. You know, she needed someone to say, nope, that is not okay.
Yeah.
And so
I think, you know, you just pointed out some of the parallels of when a stepmom comes into a situation and there aren't a lot of structure or routine or consistency. And, you know, sometimes we get hated on for it because the kids are used to this like lax type of home life. But, you know, that's what they often need. They don't know what they need when they're little.
No,
we do, for the most part. So, yeah, it's interesting to hear you like that, that one moment like showed her kind of like, this is an expectation and
yeah,
you know, and that's something that maybe your wife couldn't really say in the way that she would understand.
Well, I think it's also hard. I mean, for us that have been single parents, I mean, I know in the 6-7 years that I was a single dad, I'm sure I screwed my daughter up completely. I think I did some good things too, but you know, it's hard when you're in the mix of it. And I was so fortunate that we had a schedule that allowed my daughter not to be in daycare between her grandparents and my flexible schedule at work. You know, I got to spend all that time with my daughter. I know when I married my wife, you know, and they moved in, my stepdaughter was going to school and then daycare. And then sometimes a grandma or grandpa was picking them up because my wife was working and, you know, it's harder. And then when you get, you know, you get 2 hours of your kid time at home and they throw fits at bedtime, you don't want to be stern and you want to love them. And I get that, but you know, I think sometimes there's just expectations in a household and sometimes a dad voice can be nice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So on flip side though, I will say that, I mean, I remember one of the conversations probably 6 months after they had moved in with us, my wife and I were out to dinner and we were talking about the kids and how things were going. And my wife looked right at me and she goes, "You do know that your daughter has you wrapped around her little finger." And I'm like, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah." And she's like, "No, you know, but you don't know how much she manipulates you." And I was like, "Yeah, you're probably right. About the same as your daughter does to you." And she's like, I know. And that was a good conversation to have because my daughter, my bio daughter, having my wife be her stepmom gave her a completely different perspective on what a woman was, because my current wife and my ex-wife are two completely different people. And I'll talk a little bit now about parenting styles because I've talked about my discipline. I am the overtalker lecturer. Give them the life lesson 600 times in 6 different forms until it maybe gets in their head. That works for 50% of my kids. We'll talk about that later. But my wife is more of a, how do I say it? She's, I don't know the correct way to say it. It's almost sarcastic and a little bit rude, you know, from my point of view. I'm sure to other people, it's probably just discipline, but since I'm a oversensitive, let's talk about your feelings and emotions. She has said some things to both my girls that I just look at her like, why would you say that? but I think moms can also do that more than dads. And maybe it's a gender thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm always very honest.
It could be a tone thing too.
It could be a tone thing. You know, I am not joking when I say I'm really glad I didn't have a son, because knowing, especially 17-year-old boys that my daughter's been dating lately, I would take my son out in the front yard and beat the crap out of him. because I can't handle a 16-17-year-old boy. I probably wouldn't have been able to handle a 12-year-old boy. Daughters to me are much easier. I mean, I always wanted a daughter. I have more than I can count now, and we'll talk about that more later. but where was my track? It's almost like a jab. That's the best way I can explain it, is, you know, it's kind of crass. And my daughter did not react well to that, you know, because she was used to me. Right. And Mr. Sensitive, and let's sit down and talk about your feelings and why you did that. And my wife would just kind of say something and it would hurt my daughter's feelings. And I'd see that and I'd go, "Oh my God, I need to fix, repair, you know, jump in." But I couldn't, because as soon as I did that, I knew it would take away the power that my wife had with my daughter. I think it worked the opposite way with my stepdaughter, is my wife, you know, let me do my thing with her. Because as soon as that parent jumps in and rescues the kid, you're toast. Mm-hmm. You know, you're setting it up for that child not to respect the outsider.
I think that's something that Jake and I are still kind of learning how to navigate. Because for me, I feel less, I guess, responsible or less, and it sounds bad, not less invested, but like I try and, you know, step back in some ways when it comes to how Jake decides to parent my stepson. Even though I'm very active in all that stuff, it's like, fine, like, you know, but when it comes to my daughter, I feel like I have more to stand on. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. And so we're at this point having more conversations of, okay, how can we get on the same page? How can we both? Because it's not fair. And over time, as my daughter gets older and as he gets older, they're going to start to see, like, you know, and I don't want that. I want it. Yeah. I want it to be, but it comes for me, it comes down to like my own, I guess, confidence to stand up to Jake. Sometimes be like, that wasn't like the best way to do that. Can I offer a suggestion?
Well, and I think that's good because, you know, your daughter's both of yours and you guys get to have that dynamic. I would always, you know, when it came to my stepdaughter, I mean, like the kicking incident, that was simple. That was easy, but there's obviously a lot more other situations that are more complicated. And I would always make sure I would talk to my wife and she would do the same thing with me, with my daughter. You know, but you have to have that respect of letting them do it, but you got to communicate. I mean, it's just, and it doesn't always work out. I mean, there were times that I'm sure my wife said things to my daughter that made me go, son of a bitch, what are you doing? You know, but I'm sure that I probably pissed her off a couple times when I was dealing with my stepdaughter. So, you know, and it's important to know that. I mean, you're exactly right. I would be lying if there weren't times that I was super mad at my wife and it had nothing to do with our relationship. It was the kids and how she handled something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd love to sit here and tell you that I'm a great person and we sat down and talked about it, but no, we had some fights about it too, you know.
That's normal.
That's normal. That's
part of the process. I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you, what has been the best/hardest part about being a stepdad?
Okay.
All right, Radical Mamas, I want to talk about the first resource I found as a stepmom. Stepmom Magazine was a game changer for how I navigate this role. It's an online magazine with articles from all the top step parenting experts on all things stepmom. Each issue is packed with insights, tips, and validation from licensed therapists, published authors, and stepfamily professionals who know and live the stepmom life. Stepmom Magazine also has ebooks specific to special topics like disengaging, being a full-time stepmom, parental alienation, and so much more. They are all available to download right now. I subscribed years ago and it was exactly what I needed to feel less alone and more supported. Getting that monthly email telling me the new issue is out is like getting a warm hug from another stepmom. To subscribe, head to stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save 20%. If you find something that makes you say, yes, hell yes, me too, send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. I love hearing from you. Again, that's stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save you 20%.
Okay, we're back. So, Dougie.
Do you laugh every time you say that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's the awkwardness in me. So what's the best part about being a stepdad and the hardest part about being a stepdad?
Well, the best part is I have another daughter. That's simple. And we'll talk more about the fact that I adopted her, and sure, coming up in the next few minutes, because we're going to go down some nasty paths now. And I have another daughter the rest of my life, no matter what happens. The worst part, dealing with her fucking father.
Can you pen?
I did. Sorry.
Are you getting nervous?
You're making me think.
Like, stop clicking your pen.
It's the worst part. Not only that, the dynamics between my wife and her ex and my stepdaughter and her dad. Mm-hmm. That's that dynamic is horrible.
And I think, just pausing for a second, that this is like why our stories are so interesting, and that so many stepmoms that I talk to are, I don't mind the kid. The kid isn't the problem. It's the parent. That's the other parent.
Oh, be honest. It's both parents.
Yes, it's both parents.
It's both parents.
That they can't do it. Like,
yeah.
So let's use that as a catapult into the dynamics between bio dad and your wife.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a father and a husband. And to see how an individual has raised his daughter or been a part of his daughter's life that I really disagree with and I think is harmful, leads me down a road of anger and non-respect. But also the way that individual was a husband to my current wife when they were married. And I'm not going to go too deep into that, but we'll just say no respect and I'll leave it there. The hardest part for me is as time progressed and he came back from his little year and a half hiatus and, you know, he would have my stepdaughter every once in a while, you know, and at the beginning it was like a weekend every 6 months or, you know, as she got older, she wanted to be with her dad. She wanted to be with her dad. Of course, you know, any kid wants to. And it became a thing of us coordinating and begging him to see her, which was always hard for me because I did not want her going there because of the environment she was in when she was there. But I also know that, you know, if we're the ones that say no, then we're the bad guys and she's going to idolize her dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she hit 12 or 13, she's going to say, peace out. I'm going to go live with my dad. And that was my worst fear. Mm-hmm. Now, the relationship between my current wife and her ex is so nasty. They cannot communicate. They both would say things to my stepdaughter about one another and put my stepdaughter in the middle. And there was so much damage done there from that I got to the point where I became not only the mediator, but I was the sole contact for my stepdaughter's dad. I was the one that would call him. He and I would exchange emails. He would threaten me and tell me I was a no good, you know what. But I became that point of contact as I was raising his daughter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I was trying to shield my wife and my stepdaughter from his interactions. Mm-hmm. And I felt, I don't know if that was the right move, but I felt at the time that's what I could do as a man for my wife and my stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go great, but just like with my ex-wife, I have the ability to go, okay, you're out there and what you say to me is not really going to concern me from day-to-day living. So if you want to say that stuff to me, that's better than saying it to my stepdaughter, your daughter, or your ex-wife, my current wife. A lot of blaming, a lot of irrational thought. And, you know, it came down to everything. It was money. It was DSHS getting involved. This is an individual that doesn't believe that, you know, our government is real and that the earth is flat and all kinds of crazy stuff. And he didn't want to work for the man. And he hasn't had a job in the 11 years that, well, he grew pot.
That's a job.
Yeah, that's a job, right? Well, before it was legal. But he would also take my stepdaughter on drug runs. So yeah, put yourself in that situation. Right. Don't let her go for safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Have her mad at you and not getting to see her dad and the fear of her taking off to him someday versus, you know, trying to control the interaction. And, you know, I mean, there were days that I would drive her down to see him. And I'd hang out in that town for 3 or 4 hours just so I could pick her back up so she didn't have to stay the night. Or there was countless times where she'd go down there and, you know, especially as she got older, 11, 12, 13, that she called us at 2 o'clock in the morning crying because he was drunk and throwing things and screaming at her. Mm. And I'd jump in the truck and go get her, you know? And it's not like it was a 5-minute drive. It was a couple hours right. away. So, yeah.
With all of that kind of like high conflict, what was that like for you and your wife? Like, how did that impact the two of you?
It was difficult. I mean, I can only speak for me, but I felt like I was going above and beyond. And I wasn't doing it for my wife. I was doing it for my stepdaughter. I mean, of course I was doing it for my wife too, but you know, I felt there were times I was angry and I felt like, hey, at least acknowledge what I'm doing here. You know, the fact that you two adults can't be human. And I know it was mostly him, but there were times that my wife would just say the wrong things to him and cause this, you know, it's like, I guess what I expected for her to be able to do what I do with my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm older now, I get that that's not as easy. Well, you know me as a person and as a friend, I don't have any confidence issues. So, you know, I have no problem with someone not liking me or whatever. Mm-hmm. If that's the way they feel, I can let that roll. That's hard for a lot of people. And especially with the emotions and the relationship they had, you know, I know there's hurt feelings there on both sides. But go ahead.
It's interesting because I'm similar in a sense in how I am the mediator, and that's why I do the majority of the writing of the emails, or I respond to the text messages or like whatever, because my husband doesn't care if he pisses her off.
Right.
He doesn't care because he just doesn't care. And I, with my anxiety and stuff, I'm like, okay, but if you piss her off, then she's going to do X, Y, and Z. And I don't want that. Like, it's like, I've had to teach him, like, don't put fuel on the fire. Like, you don't need it. Like you were saying earlier about jabs and stuff, like he'll do a jab for no reason. So I've like read his emails.
Well, there's a reason he's hurt. He's hurt, pissed.
He's angry. You know, I mean, just like I've read his emails and I'm like, oh, this was a really good email, but I'm going to take out this sentence. Right. Don't need to say this.
You're poking the bear.
Yeah. And I too can relate to feeling like, okay, I'm going above and beyond trying to keep you two dumbasses like in check, mm-hmm. because you're going to rip each other's heads off and you're forgetting about this little boy. Like the whole reason why you guys are even like still talking to each other is
you have to talk. Yeah.
So.
Hey, and you know, I think that's with people in our role, that's what it is. I mean, I get my wife and I get her anger and her hate towards her ex-husband, but I've kind of felt like at times at least put as much effort into it that I'm putting into it, because we're doing this for our daughter, my stepdaughter, her daughter. You know, it's like, come on. Just give a little bit more. But, you know, I think that's just hard, especially in those relationships where it was nasty. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if I had never met my wife and had not been involved, I'm sure they would have been the type that had to met at the police station to exchange their daughter, you know, because there wouldn't have been a buffer. Mm-hmm. That's what we are, is buffers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I will tell you, there were times this man thanked me for raising his daughter. I can count those on one hand. Usually it was telling me that I'm a sorry sack of stuff and that I'm blinded by everything that my wife does and, you know, a lot of attacking. But that's okay if that's what makes him sleep better at night. You know, I think the advantage I have is that he would want to see his daughter on his timelines, but he didn't really want to be involved. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I mean, if it was a situation where she was going back and forth every week, like my bio daughter, I don't know if I would have been able to do that.
Sure.
You know, but it was so sporadic. Now, I will say that at some point he met a young lady and had a couple more kids, and that changed the dynamic of his house. Mm. And that's more recent, And my daughter probably goes down, well, my stepdaughter mm-hmm. goes down there probably twice a year now because she wants to see her siblings. Mm. But I think she has a 3-day rule. She just doesn't know it yet because after 3 days, her and her dad are at each other's throats, mm. you know? I don't know. There's no right answer. Let me explain why I adopted her because I think that's going to be important.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to ask.
So when she was 14, you know, her dad never really paid child support or was present, except for in really messing her up in a lot of ways. I mean, I guess the only regret I have is he pulled the wool over my eyes a little bit. I think he did some really bad things with her, shared some recreational use drugs with her at a young age. I didn't know about it until much later when we got into counseling and a suicide attempt and that kind of stuff, you know, some real mental health stuff, and some stuff came out about her dad. And man, I beat myself up for a long time because, you know, that line of, do you not let her go safety wise? Or I was always doing what I felt was right. And not just me. I mean, my wife and I were making those decisions together. Mm-hmm. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but I wish I had not been so worried so much about her relationship with her dad. I've always had this fear. I've known enough young women in my life that have had daddy issues. I mean, we'll just call it what it is. And I did not want my stepdaughter to have those issues. I wanted her to have some relationship with her dad. I did not understand how much he was going to screw it up, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I there are things he did that I still to this day can't fathom doing to my daughter or my stepdaughter. And I just, maybe I'm naive. I didn't know that was humanly possible as a parent to do some of the things that he did. But when she was about 14, my wife had finally had enough. And she said, fine, we're just going to stop this. She's not coming down to see you unless it's supervised. We're going to get DSHS involved, you know, the whole thing. And guess who was on the phone with the DSHS caseworker? Me, because that was the Definitely. Only way we could communicate. And at one point he just said, fuck it. And he goes, you can adopt her. I don't want to pay for her. And he said this to her, to his daughter.
Oh my God.
And so at that moment I was like, okay, I want her. And so we went through the proceedings and adopted her, and we had a little party in the courtroom with her grandparents and her mom mm-hmm. and some other family. You know, I'll be honest with you. I had some family, my family, that looked at me and went, what the hell are you doing? Mm. And I said, well, you know, she's been with me for 9 years. She's my daughter. I don't care what a piece of paper says, but I need her to know that she's wanted, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't care about the money. We didn't need the money at this point from him. He never really supplied it anyway. It wasn't about money, but to him it was. Mm-hmm. And it really came down to, I mean, as we are all parents in some form, my wife was deathly afraid if something happened to her that he would take her, you know, he'd get custody. And of course she was over 12 at that point. And I think 12 or 13 is when the courts allow the child to decide, but mm-hmm. a 12 or 13 year old little girl is going to choose her dad no matter what. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked to her about this, you know, we're very open in our house. And, you know, I asked her, I didn't tell her I was adopting her. I asked her, I would like to adopt you. Is that okay with you? Mm-hmm. And she said, absolutely. And she goes, if something happens to mom, I want to stay with you anyway. And I said, okay, well, we need to make that legal then. And it was great. I think about 6 months to a year later, there was remorse from her. Mm. I think she felt like she did her dad wrong. Mm.
Not remembering, you know, that it was mainly his decision.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that he told her he didn't want to pay for her, so let Doug adopt you. You know, I mean, that's crazy. I again, the things that you can do as a parent can really screw your kids up. So, you know, I will say now she's almost 17 and I think she's right now in a very good headspace. We have had 11 years of conversation. Love your dad. He's your dad, but he's not your father. You know, I am her father figure. I'm her Dougie. She knows who has done homework with her for 11 years, who feeds her every night, who picks her up, who deals with her boyfriends and her friends and her emotions and buys her tampons and all those good things that good dads do. But right around 15, about a year after the adoption, I could see a switch in her that she felt like she betrayed her dad.
And that is a true testament to how deep loyalty binds are or how strong they are, right? Like,
yeah,
I talked to so many stepmoms that they're like, you know, their mom is a piece of crap. Their mom doesn't do this. Their mom doesn't do that. Their mom has done horrible things, has just dropped them off at some random place, has just, you know, all this stuff. And without fail, the kid will always have hope. There will always be that loyalty that you are my mom, that you are, you know, and it, you know, goes both ways. And it's so sad. And, but to understand that so much of that is like just innate in a kid can take a lot of taking things personally, you know, because in your case, you could very easily take that personally of, look at all the stuff that I've done for you. Look at all the things that I continue to do. And here you are still going back to this piece of shit, but it's not about you, right? No.
Well, it's the same thing as all kids. I mean, I don't expect my bio daughter to look at me and say, Dad, you knew what the hell you were doing. Thanks. Until she's about 30. My stepdaughter's going to do the same thing, but you know, until that age, no, they, I mean, I always make the joke that, you know, in their teenage years, they can only see about 2 inches in front of their nose, you know, and at that moment, it's about, why does my dad not love me? You know, I mean, she's still in that form, you know, she just went down to see her siblings a couple weeks ago and she tried so hard with her dad and he asked her for money because she's got a part-time job. She's 16. What? Yeah. He asked her for money because he couldn't feed his other two kids. So she went to the store and bought food for them.
Oh my God.
That's a winner right there.
God.
But I think the other thing that I see you're looking at your questions. One of the things we haven't talked about that I know you and I have discussed based on your relationship is, you know, the healthcare and the mental health aspect, because my stepdaughter does have some mental health issues. And a lot of this has come from her dad and her mom, to be honest. And I've kind of been the forefront of that as well. I mentioned earlier, she had a suicide attempt and it wasn't too bad, but it was a cry for help. And it was during COVID and there was no mental health hospitals available, no beds available. And I have been the forefront of working with the psychiatrist and the counselor and dealing with the school system, because she's not in school right now, because a lot of it was school and social interactions. You know, but I guess for the purpose of this podcast is I don't view myself as a step parent in that regard. You know, she's my daughter, whether she's blood or not. And I know my wife has a more difficult time navigating the mental health stuff. And so I've taken a lead on that as well, but I would do that no matter what, step or bio. So, and I know you've had some of the same experiences. So,
yeah. Where I just kind of take on, you know, what I am more versed in. I mean, I talk about a lot on here, my stepson's extra needs and stuff like that. And that the bio mom and my husband don't know shit about any of it. It can feel really cliche to say rewarding in a lot of ways to be that person for my stepson. And I imagine for you to be that person for your daughter. But I do find myself still wanting that acknowledgement from Jake to be like,
sure,
I know that you don't have to do this, but I still appreciate the fact that you are. Yeah. How do you ask for what you need when it comes to, you're laughing. How, I mean, in your relationship,
keep going.
How do you communicate that kind of stuff? Do you ask for that? Do you feel like you are taken advantage of ever?
No, I don't feel like I'm taken advantage of because I would do it for any kid in my life. How to ask for acknowledgement? I don't know if I've learned how to do that, Christina. I really don't. I think that's part of who I am. Should I? Maybe. But man, that's, you know.
You've always been a caregiver though. So sometimes I think that's what comes down to your own personality and who you are before you even take on this role. I think that has a lot to do with it.
And, you know, I mean, I would argue with you that it's not really a stepmom. It's a caretaker step parent, right? Because I am definitely, I mean, I know you've called me a stepmom, but I am the caretaker, you know, and but so is my wife. I don't want to take that away from her. I think she does an amazing job. It's just, we have different roles, mm-hmm. you know? The only thing that I can say that I wish I would have been more vocal with my wife is to tell her to suck it up when it came to her ex. But that's a hard thing to do. There's a lot of history there, right, and a lot of damage. And so, you know, I can't expect her to do what I did, you know, with my ex, but that was a choice I made. And I made that for my daughter. I also know I made that based on my history and my step parents and, you know, the death of a parent, which really formed who I am today. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're right. I should be able to communicate what I need, but I don't know how.
That's literally what I coach people how to do.
Right. You know,
you want to schedule one-on-one with me?
Probably. you know, as far as the healthcare stuff goes, it did become easier for me when the adoption happened because I did not have to communicate with him at all.
Yeah.
And that was a huge blessing because before that, we were starting to get my stepdaughter into some counseling because, you know, I could see the signs that she had some issues and was really struggling. And she would go see him or talk to him on the phone, and he'd tell her what a bunch of quacks counselors are and how they're ruining her life. And it was just difficult, you know? And so the adoption really helped me. I mean, it's only been a couple years, but that was a saving grace for me. And I'm glad I did it because then it gave me the power to move forward without having to get his permission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot to say with that, in that step parents can do everything a parent does, but legally have no rights. Right. And that can be scary for a lot of people that, you know, are like you or in your situation where, you know, you're very invested. And if something happens or whatever, like, we don't have anything, like, yeah. and then the bio parent could just take the kid and you never see them again. And you've invested years and years and years.
Well, My stepdaughter would tell you, if she were sitting right here, she always jokes, well, Mom, Doug, if you guys get divorced, I'm staying with Doug.
I've already probably
yeah, I've already chosen. Probably not a good thing for my wife to hear, but that's okay.
Yeah. So if you could, going back, you know, you've shared your story. If you could go back and do anything differently, what would it be?
I guess I would challenge myself a little more about, you know, being concerned about my stepdaughter's safety going to her dad's house. I maybe would have not fought so hard that her relationship needed to happen and be facilitated through me. I think I should have pulled the plug at an earlier point, saying, I mean, you know, right now, I have coached her for 11 years that she gets to decide what their relationship is. And she's old enough now that she can make those choices. I may have done that a little too early. I mean, it was hard. It was a hard balance because my wife, you know, right away was like, I don't want her going there. And there were some crazy fights at our house about her saying, you're not going to your dad's. And the reaction of my stepdaughter was not fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, she ran away. She, you know, was doing things that we were unaware of. And I probably maybe should have supported that more, but it was hard because I was always trying to be neutral. Mm-hmm. And play both sides of the fence. You need a relationship with your mom. You need a relationship with your dad and a relationship with me. And I'm going to be that buffer in between. I should have maybe recognized some of the safety issues earlier, but I had no idea.
Yeah,
I
mean, you can't. Yeah.
I can't. I was doing what was best
at the time. Yeah.
Hindsight. Yeah. I wish I would have pulled her from ever seeing him ever again, but I don't know if we'd be in a different place. It would just be a different result. You know?
Yeah. So given that the audience is stepmoms and your wife is a stepmom, mm-hmm. and so much of what I preach and what I talk about and stuff is communication with your partner and being a team and all that stuff. Do you have any words of wisdom or thought? I know I'm going to put you on the spot. This was not on the list of questions.
No, it was not.
Do you have any, like, to the stepmoms listening, you know, who are struggling in their role and having maybe disagreements with their partner about what their role looks like? What would be your advice to them?
I'm going to answer this a little differently. Ooh. I'm going to go back to Doug as a child who had multiple stepmoms. Okay. And I'm going to say the love that you give these kids and the support you give them, they will never forget. You know, just like we were saying, my daughter's not going to come to me until she's 30 and go, hey, you were right. I can think of every woman that was a stepmother or stepmother figure in my life and what they did for me. And yeah, sometimes the relationship with my dad was good. Sometimes it wasn't. But I will never forget those women and what they did for me. And I cannot say an ill word about any of them, especially in the time period that I had, you know, stepmoms. It was much more of a gender role, you know, difference than it is now. I'd like to think there's more men like me out there right now, but I know I'm still a minority. But I guess it doesn't matter if you're a stepmom or stepdad. Make the choice to love them and be a step parent or don't, you know, be their friend. That's fine, but make a choice and commit to it because, you know, this is where I get a little real. Just because you're having sex with somebody doesn't mean you're a step parent to their kid, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. You know, have a good time if you want to have a good time, but don't pretend. Maybe I should say that mostly to the men. Don't. No, I shouldn't say that.
No, I think, you know, you made a good point that I think many of us forget sometimes is, you know, we are navigating this role and thinking about the kids where they are right now and everything that we want to feel right now. And it's hard to look at the bigger picture and what things are going to look like down the line when they're older and maybe, you know, because they don't always have that maturity to appreciate us or to see us for what we do. And, you know, that's, you know, similar to the Mother's Day thing. That's why I don't always look to my stepson to appreciate me. He's a kid. He just thinks I'm an adult. And that's what adults do. They should, you know.
Well, and he's got a mother.
Right. You know,
that's the part we forget is it's hard as a 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old to go, well, you're my mother, you're not, but I'm supposed to pretend like you're my mother or father. Right. I mean, that's weird.
It's complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated for us and we're old.
And that's why, you know, so much of what we have to do to get through these feelings, these harder feelings that we have, is manage our own inner work. And it's not so much about the kid, and it could definitely be more about how we feel and how it's communicated with our partner. Because I didn't get with Jake to be a stepmom. I got with him to be with him. And, you know, that's why there's that bonus piece of, oh, he's just a bonus kid. And then it gets all sorts of complicated when I am knee deep in responsibility, and it's not necessarily a bonus anymore. It's kind of taxing. So,
well, and maybe what you should say is, if there's anybody out there listening right now who is dating someone with a kid, you're a parent. A step parent is BS. You're a parent or you're not, you mm-hmm. know? So you have to make that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
And yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other episode.
But I know.
okay. I think that was all my questions.
Well, if you ever want to do more of the Doug story, if anyone asks, because I could tell you about also, you know, we took in, now follow this, my stepdaughter's dad had an older daughter that my wife and I took in for 2 years, where we were both step parents to her because both her parents gave up on her. Yeah. So there's more to the story that affected all the kids.
Yeah. And if you are an OG listener from season one, Gannett shared her experience with that, because when my co-host, Gannett, she got with her dude and he was still taking care of
a kid from
a previous, like
her. He was a step parent too.
His step daughter he was still caring for in addition to his bio-daughter. It's just
we did that as well for 2 years. It was intense. Four girls in my house. It was fun. I'm shaking my head no.
Not fun. Lots of fun. Kind of.
Lots right. of estrogen.
Well, I'm probably gonna have you back on because I'm sure there'll be questions to hear more about your multiple hats that you wear. But thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Everyone, be well and stay radical.
All right, ladies, the episode is over, but do you want a little more? Come find me on Instagram and join the community at Radical Stepmoms Podcast, or schedule a one-on-one session and get that personalized support, or become a Radical member and gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes and merch. Radical Stepmoms is so much bigger than a podcast. Check out the details in the notes on this episode.